in the comments on the 50s on 5, keeping that big beat job alive. It's Rockabilly Thursday here on the Night Prowl Show with your furry leader, Matt the Cat. It's the top of the hour. Rock and roll power comes straight off the satellite relay tower. And as I promised, Carl Dobkins Jr. coming up in just a few minutes. He has a brand new CD out. You can download it. I got to talk to Carl about this. You can download it at iTunes or at Amazon.com. If you'd like, if you just can't wait and you have to have it now. We'll talk to Carl in just a minute. I want to play something off of his brand new album. Now, you know, Ronnie Millsap is a friend of the show. And Carl does a great version of Ronnie's song, Lost in the 50s Tonight. So let's kick it off with Carl Dobkins Jr. Because we are lost in the 50s tonight, aren't we, baby?
Close your eyes, baby. Follow my heart. Call on the memories here in the dark. We'll let the magic take us away, back to the feelings we shared when they played in the still of the night. Hold me tight. Say hey. Magic moments we know can't survive, but love's all that matters while the past is alive. Now and for always, till time disappears, we'll hold each other whenever we're here in the still.
In the 50s tonight. Oh, we certainly are all the time here at XM Satellite Radio's 50s on 5. Joining me, the guy who was singing that song, Carl Dobkins Jr., live on the air right now. Carl, good to talk to you again.
Nice talking to you, Matt. Last time we saw each other, we were on a cruise ship down in Mexico way.
We were having a good time, Carl.
Great time. Yeah, I had Freddie Cannon on there and Jimmy Rogers.
Jimmy Rogers, too, yeah.
And the Truckin' Bozo was on there. Had a good time. Good time.
It was, and it's great to talk to you again. It's been a few months, and you were telling me about this new album that you had coming out, and now it's finally out, so congratulations.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
But I need to ask you, now, you know, you're making it available on Amazon.com and iTunes if people want to download the digital tracks, but if they want to get their hands on an actual CD, how would they do that?
An actual CD, and I will autograph it, personally autograph them. They go to www.dbw, like David Bain White. That's who owns the company. So it's dbwsound.com, dbwsound.com. And there's a link there. You just go on PayPal and you know, put your credit card in there. Or if you're not into credit cards on the Internet, just take their address off the homepage and send a check in there, and they'll do it.
All right.
Well, I'll autograph them and send it back out to you.
Sounds
good. I need a new rocking chair there, man.
How long have you been working on this new album?
I tell you, this started actually last August, and the guy producing it had a day job. That's my son-in-law, Dave White. He's very talented. He's a musician. He's got so many talents that are running out of his ears. Of course, he has a day job, and he's, of course, supporting my daughter and granddaughter, which is good because I don't want him to come back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one's got four kids I have to worry about. But anyway, he's so talented, and he, you know, just couldn't devote his full time to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally got it out, and I think he did a great job.
I like
it. My part was easy. I just put down the voice tracks and set back. The unusual thing is that none of the people on the recording were in the studio at the same time. In fact, another one of them, the drummer, was in a different state. They just emailed the tracks over to him. He did his thing, emailed them back, and my son-in-law put them together.
You're taking full advantage of modern technology, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's there, like it or not.
But it wasn't like that back in the 50s when you started recording.
Oh, no. You had to get in your car or in a plane or however you get there and go beg, borrow, and steal an interview on radio and do the record hops for the guy in hopes that he would play your record. And, it was a vicious cycle. You needed... to get a hit record, you needed plays, but to get plays, you needed hit records. So it was a catch-22, and it's so much easier working with people like yourself that and the fans out there that are intentionally listening to this type of music and enjoy and appreciate this type of music, and it's a lot easier, and the technology has made it a lot easier, too.
Well, let's go back to your very beginnings now. You were born in Appalachia?
No, born in Cincinnati.
Mom
and dad were from Kentucky, and they made it across the river before the wagon broke down, so I was born in Ohio, raised in Cincinnati, right?
I didn't realize that. I thought you moved to Cincinnati.
No.
Okay.
Raised in Cincinnati. I was in high school and working after school in a bakery. I was about 17 years old, and I... one weekend, didn't have a date, so I had an extra $10 to spend. By the way, every night after school and half a day on Saturday is what it took to earn the $10. And I went down to a little studio and cut a little acetate dub of a couple of songs that I had written. And some buddies of mine said, hey, we know this disc jockey. He goes around in this little Volkswagen van, and he does remote shows from these hamburger joints. And I think we can get him to play it. So we went out, and surely enough, he did. And he got interested in it. His name was Gil Shepard. And he started promoting me. And I went first on Fraternity Records, which was based here in Cincinnati. And my first release on there really didn't do much. But then we went to King Studios and told the guys, the groups, the vocal and the instrumental groups, that, hey, he said, if we can sell this thing, we'll pay you. If not, it's just kind of experience. Is that okay, guys? I said, yeah, okay. So we went to King Studios and did If You Don't Want My Lovin' and Love Is Everything. And my manager sold it to Decca Records. And it was released with number one, 6 weeks in a row in Charleston, West Virginia. 50 miles outside of there, no one ever heard of it. I was made honorary citizen. They met me at the airport with a motorcade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that caused enough stir that Decca had interest to take me to Nashville, bring me down to Nashville, and I recorded My Heart's an Open Book. The story on that was out 6 months. Nothing happened to it. We finally got started getting some play through Tom Clay in Detroit and that area, and so we got some play, and then they had to mail the disc jockeys out other copies because they'd thrown them in the trash 6 months before. So that's kind of the whirlwind tour of my recording career up to that point. And luckily, I wasn't a complete one-hit Arnest, one-hit wonder. I got three more, including that, If You Don't Want My Lovin', into the top 100.
And my favorite, Lucky Devil.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've redone that on the CD.
Yes, you did. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, when you were at King Studios, you didn't happen to run into Sid Nathan, did you?
No, but I tell you who I run into quite often, a nephew of his, Mark. I can't think of his last name. In fact, a couple of Friday nights ago, they had these concerts, oldie concerts and things over in an area in a town square, and he's always there, and he's a walking encyclopedia of oldies music. So I gave him one of the CDs. He said, "Oh, good, Carl," said, "I always did want another copy of Lucky Devil, or a copy of Lucky Devil." So he was happy with that.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Let's listen to If You Don't Want My Lovin'. Carl Dobkins Jr., my guest on Rockabilly Thursday. It's the 50s on 5.
If you don't want my lovin', just let me know. If you don't want my lovin', just let me know. Nobody but you, nobody but you, nobody but you.
My special guest, Carl Dobkins Jr., his huge, huge, enormous hit, My Heart Is an Open Book, from 1959. And Carl, didn't you have some pretty notable musicians playing on that record?
Well, it was Anita Kerr Singers. It started out with several instruments, and they kept paring it down and paring it down. Finally, it wound up with Murray on the drums. The guitar player was, we tuned the guitar up to, we put to an F, but you did an E chord, so it's got that open sound, you know, the strings are E. And that was Gardner. My mind's going here. He was one of those musicians that was on so many recordings out of Nashville. They would do a session there, pack up their instruments, go across the street to RCA and do one for Elvis, and then go down the street for somebody else. And the Anita Kerr Singers. In fact, I mentioned on the CD that my daughter is, her name is Anita, and I named her after Anita of the Anita Kerr Singers. In fact,
we did
a song on my original album called Three Little Peggies, and it says, "This little Peggy likes to cha-cha, this little Peggy likes to rock, this little Peggy likes to stay at home and hug and kiss around the clock." And I said, and Anita Kerr was pregnant at the time, and I said, "I wonder which one of you like to hug and kiss around the clock." And then several years ago, later, I redid the song on Chalet Records.
Yes, you did.
Little upbeat more on it. Mm-hmm. And the vocal group was there, and they said, "Gee, this sounds familiar." It wasn't Anita Kerr, but it was the singers from her group. And I said, "Well, it should. You did this, whatever it was, 20 years ago."
Now, do you remember that session? I mean, how many times did you have to take that song before
I don't really remember that one specifically, and it wasn't a song that I was particularly crazy about. You know, I wanted a rock and roll song, but in fact, Jimmy Dean had recorded that and released it 6 months prior to that. We didn't know about it at the time. And the other side of that record for him was There's a Shark in the Bathtub. But his last television show, he used to have a television show, and he said, "There was a song I recorded, and I believed in a song, and I recorded it, and it didn't do anything, but some young man from Cincinnati had a hit out of it, and I'm glad the song made a hit."
If you guys didn't know about it, how did you get the song? Like,
from the publisher, what you would have...
They demoed it for you, and you...
Right, yeah. Before you have a hit record, you've got to go looking for the material. Once you have a hit record or have any, If You Don't Want My Lovin', it made some noise. Well, then they come looking for you. And the publishing company would have people that were selling their song. In fact, you know, after Open Book, man, I check in a motel, and people are pounding on the door wanting to sell you a song. But they would have people that were working specifically for the publishing company promoting and trying to get their songs recorded.
Okay. What about Lucky Devil? How did that one come about?
The same way. We used to go to Owen Bradley Studios, and we'd sit down with Owen, and he had already previewed a lot of the songs, and he would put in stacks the ones that he thought was good for different artists, and we'd sit there and go through the stacks and say yay, nay, maybe, and sort them out, and then come up finally with what we were going to do. There weren't any written arrangements. It was just all, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know, what do you think? And it was really unique, really unique.
Well, let's play Lucky Devil right now. This is my personal favorite.
Thanks.
It's the Night Prowl Show with Carl Dobkins Jr.
I'm a lucky devil, a lucky devil, to find a little angel like you. First time we touched, I was floating on air. I knew I was in heaven, though I'd never been there. On the level, I'm a lucky devil to find a little angel like you.